All right, effect sizes. For each of your F tests, you can plug in F and you can get an R. Okay. The F tests for the main effect and for the interactions can only be compared with effect sizes from other studies that have exactly the same conditions. You with me? Let's back up and look at this last problem. If I ran easy versus medium in my study, in another study, then obviously comparing the main effect of easy versus hard and the main effect of easy versus medium doesn't make any sense. Right?
Could you turn the easy versus not easy?
You could, but it'd still be a stupid idea. I mean, you just, it's not the same thing. Okay, unless you read it carefully, read through the results and said, you know, what this guy's calling medium, this guy's calling hard. Then you'd be fine. But if there really is, one of them is easy and medium, the other one's easy and hard, then this comparison is not as direct. I can imagine acts of desperation by beta analysts. Yeah, they'd look at it, sure. But look what's going on here. We can't compare this across the two studies because for one, this is the average of easy and hard versus this average of easy and hard. For the other study, this is the average of easy and medium versus the average of easy and medium. They're not comparable. And the interaction among four cells that don't match obviously isn't the same thing twice. So when you look at these overall effects, and this is the same thing we had with the K groups design, you can get an effect size for an omnibus test, but it only is useful for comparisons to exactly the same design, which doesn't happen all that often. The good news is that we can get effect sizes for simple effects. And the reason this is important is because it is the simple effect which is almost always the highlight of the study. The patterns of interactions are captured by looking at those simple effects. Determining whether the main effects are descriptive or misleading based on those simple effects. And so, since those simple effects are what capture, express, and test the research hypothesis, those are the effect sizes that we care about most. And we're going to use the same procedure we did with the K groups design. We take the two means that we're interested in and the error term. We turn them into a D, turn the D into an R. Now, we can compare that effect size with any effect size from a similar pair of cells. So, for example, if I look here and calculate that effect size, I can compare that to any time, any part of any study, no matter how small or how large. If I can find two cells that are both an easy task, one paper's the other computer, I can go get that effect size and compare it to mine. Does that make sense? I mean, what meta-analysts learn how to do is dig through big nasty factorial designs and figure out which two cells here give me a comparison that's like the other 20 that I have.
Essentially measurement experts, aren't they?
Most of the time. What they're spending all their time about is equivalence. Manipulation equivalence, measure equivalence, because if I can come up with these two cells in some other design, I can get their effect size. Put that article down, pick up the next one. Can I find easy task with these two? And that's what they're looking for. Because the simple effects are the medium of exchange in science. No matter how big and nasty the designs get, what really matters is bringing it down to sets of simple effects, literally sets of pairwise comparisons to describe patterns of results. When I took econometrics classes in graduate school, the econometrician liked to talk about it as the medium of exchange. That's what we talk about. Whenever we draw boxes, we don't draw boxes and talk about the overall effect. We say, look what I got here, look what I got there. That's an interaction. Look what I got here, look what I got there. That's not. Everything comes down to pairwise comparisons. So everything comes down to pairwise effect sizes.
We would just use the computator, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you can do it by hand. CAC. All right. The way we're going to do this in SPSS is to go into analyze the general linear model in univariate. The dependent variable goes here, the two independent variables go there. Make sure that you click options and ask for the descriptive statistics. Here's our research design drawn out. We have two types of reinforcement, praise and criticism, and we have two types of task, simple and complex. We get two things back out of SPSS. We get the table that portrays the means, and we get the ANOVA table. One thing I strongly suggest is you immediately take this table of means and turn it into the boxes that you're used to. Prevent silly mistakes. The cell means are represented praise simple. So the combination of praise reinforcement and simple task has a mean of 7.6. Praise and complex is 7. This where it says praise total is the marginal mean for praise. Okay, praise total is the marginal mean for praise. Then we have criticism and simple, criticism and complex. Criticism and total is the marginal mean for criticism. Then, total and simple is the marginal mean for simple. Total and complex is the marginal mean for complex. And you've got all your cell and marginal means represented by SPSS. You can, if you want to, control how this table comes out by the way that you put things into SPSS. If you change which variable you put in first to which variable you put in second, it will change the order in which these things appear. And that's a good thing to be able to do. Right now, it is much easier to look at the simple effect of task for each type of reinforcement. There's the simple effect of task for praise. There's the simple effect of task for criticism. Okay? If you want to look at the simple effect of reinforcement for praise, then you got to start making comparisons. And as the designs get bigger, you're making comparisons of means that are farther apart, increases the chance of doing something stupid. So there's two ways to save yourself. Within SPSS, the way to save yourself is be careful how you order the statistics so that the simple effects that you care about are sitting with adjacent means. Better than that, just translate it into the boxes that you're used to. That's the thing most likely to keep you from making silly mistakes. We look down here in the F table, and there's a corrected model. The corrected model says, is there anything going on here at all? Okay, is there anything going on here at all? The intercept asks if the grand mean is different than zero. Woo! There are rare occasions when you might care about that. For example, if you translated everybody's scores into population z-scores, it might be interesting to know whether overall the group did better or poorer than the population value. But I've never actually seen anyone do that and publish it. But hey, you know, it's there. The three things that we're going to focus on is the reinforcement, the task, and the reinforcement time task effects. The reinforcement here is the main effect of reinforcement. Task is the main effect of task. And interactions are represented as two numbers with a star between them. Means multiply. And an interaction is a multiplicative function. We look here and we can see that there is a main effect for reinforcement. That tells us that these two means are different from each other. There's a main effect of task. That tells us these two means are different from each other. And it tells us that there's a significant interaction, which means there's a pattern here, which means both of these main effects have to be carefully examined. Again, the reason we worry about the main effects is not because the main effects are significant, but because the interaction is significant. This is a fairly common pattern that I wanted you to see in a 2x2 design where three of the conditions have almost exactly the same mean and just that fourth condition is different from all of them. This pattern virtually guarantees two things. One, both main effects. Because we got three numbers that are all large and one number that's small. When we put two large numbers up against a larger, large and a small number combined, we get an effect. When we put two large numbers up against the average of a large and a small number, we get an effect. So when you get this 3 versus 1 pattern, you're pretty sure you're going to get both main effects. You're also pretty sure that both of those main effects are going to be misleading. Because there's only one small number. There's not two small numbers, so there's never a case where there's not two small numbers. So we got a small and a large and a large, they're not going to match. Small and a large, they're not going to match. So this 3 versus 1 pattern, pretty common, something to watch for, because it gives you main effects that are likely to be misleading. The big focus here is going to be on the interaction and telling the story to understand why this is different than those three. In order to describe that interaction pattern, what we need is an LSD minimum mean difference to compare cell means. The formula is here not because I expect you to use the formula, but because most of the people who use this hand, these handouts spread all over the place, make their kids do all this stuff by hand. I don't think they're necessarily hateful, evil people. They just act like it in this one occasion. We'll, of course, use the computators. But it does lay out for us that we've got two sets of simple effects. We got the simple effect of reinforcement, which is a null for simple tasks, and praise does better than criticism for complex tasks. And that pattern of the interaction guarantees that the main effect is going to be misleading. When the simple effects disagree with each other, they can't both agree with the main effect pattern. Here also then is an example of how you write that up. Again, this is not creative writing. It's basically fill in the blanks. The best way to describe and report your hypothesis testing for interactions and for main effects is the same two-step process we talked about before. First, describe it. If I'm going to describe the interaction, I'm going to say, for simple tasks, praise does better than criticism. No, I'm sorry. For simple tasks, praise is equivalent to criticism. For complex tasks, praise does better than criticism. I'm going to write that down. Then I'm going to go back in, I'm going to read my hypothesis, and I'm going to add in either that this is as hypothesized or contrary to the hypothesis. And I'm going to add in before this one either as hypothesized or contrary to the hypothesis. Okay? That two-part writing thing save you a lot of heartache, save you a lot of silly mistakes. Now, when we put these data in, this is, I think, the last time I provide you the opportunity to enter your own data. It's all an opportunity here.
You said that last.
No, I said it was the next to the last. Well, I should have. The number must be a better number than that. Okay. There we go. All right, we have to get these data into SPSS in a way that SPSS and we agree what it means. Remember that in SPSS, each row is a case. In this case, it's a person. And each column is a variable. Now somehow we have to get this person's data into SPSS. There's going to be three variable values for that person. We need to know whether they're a paid assistant or a volunteer assistant. And we need to know whether they got low intensity shock or high intensity shock. And yes, we actually ran this study in graduate school. The shocks weren't anything interesting. The shocks that we gave the undergraduates were 2 orders of magnitude less than we shocked baby rats with. And the rats do fine. The sophomores are just... Yeah, the rats are fine, the sophomores are pussies. Yeah, I like that. All right, this person. When we put this variable in, we have to use codes. 1 means volunteer, 2 means paid. You can use 0 and 1 if you want to, but keep it simple. 1 and 2. For shock intensity, this is going to be a 1. This is going to be a 2. So this person is going to have a 1 because they had a volunteer assistant, or at least we're told they had a volunteer assistant. They're going to have a 1 because they got the low intensity shock. At least they were told it was the low intensity shock. And they're going to have a 34 because that's their dependent variable score. Make sense? This person It's going to have a 2, and a 1, and a 24. A 1, and a 2, and an 18. That one, a 2, and a 2, and a 25. Make sense? Three columns of numbers, because it's a between groups design. In a between groups design, the variables are what IV conditions are you in, what's your DV score.
Dumb question, but in a PSS, can you do a V and a P versus a 1 and a 2?
You can, but depending upon which version, it won't then let you use that as an IV.
Okay.
The reason is that when they set up the rules for IVs, they acted like they were in a regression. And so if you tell me that it's a categorical variable, I don't want that as a predictor in a regression.
Okay.
So some versions you can, some versions you can't. The thing to do, put in 1, put in 2, use value labels so you remember which one's which.
You don't want to use the categorical variable as a predictor in a regression?
Not unless you code it up or something. You have to do things with it first.
Okay.
Binary's okay, but not to SPSS. It doesn't separate binary from multiple category. They're all just categorical. And
so I just want to make sure I'm understanding it.
Any other questions?
No. But so you have three columns.
Yeah.
And for the person represented by the number on the top left-hand corner, that would be 1134 going across the
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Be gone. On Monday, we're going to look at what happens when we can have multiple conditions instead of two. The only thing that changes is we now may need LSDs to look at marginal means if the main effect has more than two conditions. A little bit of complexity, but nothing you haven't already handled.
Let's go.
That's nice. Let's get nice stuff.
I felt like I hurt my back yesterday.
What'd you do?
Like you said I was going to.
Sorry.
I did. I wanted to just kind of go heavy and see where I was at, and then I was going to drop down and do like a work set.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was kind of fine going heavy. It didn't feel real good through my core, but got the weight up, got to where I wanted to. Dropped down for like a set of what I thought was going to be 5. So on the first one, I drove it up. And you know how if you really get out of it at the very top, it's like the bar keeps going and then pops back down on them.
Yes.
When it came back, it felt
you gotta really, you gotta coast the last couple inches, yes. Yeah, I've seen guys in meets actually come up off their feet. And they'll throw a light at you and you get to do it over.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you don't hurt yourself. Because a lot of times you come up, you do this, then the bar's gone. Because that bar does not move as well as you do.
Yeah. The light would be like best case scenario.
That's right. if you're not dead, you get to do it over.
You have a quick question?
Yeah, this is a real quick.
Oh, pretties.
I'm just supposed to remind you that Monday.
Oh, you're supposed to remind me Monday.
Oh, okay.
Telling me today won't do either of us.
Email you.
Come on, remember
Monday.
You're working with here. No, just Monday in class. Tell me, and I'll walk up and change it before you get there.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right.
Moderating effects.
Yeah.
What? How do you assess? How do you test this?
Oh, you put an interaction term in. This is tested by an interaction term between these two. This is an interaction term. This is an interaction.
So is that multiple regression?
Yeah.
Okay, so in SPSS you would do, you go to...
What you'll do is what kind of variables do we have here?
They're scales.
They're scales? Okay.
1 to 7.
Cool. What we'll do is we'll first center them so that the average is 0.
So the average is 0.
Well, once we center them, we subtract we subtract the average from each person's score.
Okay.
Now the average becomes 0.
Okay.
We then multiply the two centered variables together, and that gives us a thing called an interaction term.
Okay.
So now the model will have, that is the DV, that, and that as IVs, and the three interaction terms as IVs.
Okay.
If the interaction term is significant, then you get what you expected. Okay? Let's see. Quiz Unit 3 of 942 will tell you how to code an interaction term, or you can come on in, we'll do it together.
Okay. So, but it would be like three different.
Yeah.
DV, DV, DV.
That's right.
IV, 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 IV.
Three factorials. IV, IV. And three interactions. Yep. So you got a seven term model three times.
So do you use Barron and Kinney's methodology, or what is it, McGregor or MacArthur or somebody like that?
What all of them use is a different subset of the whole thing. Barron and Kinney are interested only in mediators, mediating moderators. And so, but at the regression level, most of the stuff that they talk about is for three-term models. Because you're looking to see whether what you thought was an effect is really mediated by something else, or whether you thought were independent effects is really accounted for by a moderator of the two of them in a joint effect and interaction. Once you start building whole pictures like this that are expressed as a multiple regression, everybody does the same thing.
Okay, so it's just a multiple regression.
Yep.
Center the means, and then that's an effect, that's an effect. That's a term.
Right. Literally, what you're expecting is that this main effect is related there.
Mm-hmm.
This main effect is not. This main effect is not, because there's no arrows. This main effect is not. But this interaction will be, this interaction will be, and that interaction will be.
So what if I think that probably there are... there has to be a trigger for deviance to occur, but so the trigger doesn't matter. But I would think, regardless of the trigger, this would lead to lower deviance. So how would you?
And that's why. And now, I want you to recognize that we're talking about preference here, not reality. Okay.
Mm-hmm.